Welcome, everybody, and welcome back. If you're rejoining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 4:30. It is Wednesday, and so it is time for one of my favorite segments. We call it Broad Appeal. I bring on broads, and I mean that respectfully, reverentially. We bring on amazing female candidates, elected officials, political leaders, organizers, and activists from all across the state and beyond to talk about why they are stepping up in such a fraught time in our nation's political history. We've got a great doer, a great candidate with us for this next half hour. Her name is Sarah Harrison. She's running for the state Senate District 5. I'm going to have her describe what that covers geographically. It's an interesting cross section. Now, folks, just like my prior guest, and again, big thanks to Trevor Young, candidate for the 21st state Senate District. The 21st district and the 5th district, these are toss-up districts in 2026. Mm-hmm. These are the districts that Democrats have to pick up in the state Senate races in order to take back the state Senate. We're going to talk about that race, but welcome, Sarah. Thank you for spending some of your Wednesday afternoon with us.
Thanks for having me, Maggie. Glad to be here.
I want to start where I left off with Trevor, which was I was talking to him about his experience running Racine's transit system. And I constantly talk about on this program how important I think it is, having worked at various levels of government, to have elected officials that have actually run things, whether that's in the private or worked in other jobs other than, other than only as an elected official, whether that's in the private sector or the public sector. And you are a business owner, and your business is a logistics operational specialist firm to help businesses manage that. And I love this. So folks, if you don't know what logistics is, Sarah's going to tell you what it is. And this is absolutely about getting things done, and particularly complicated things at that. Tell folks what logistics is.
Absolutely, 100%. Well, so I was in the corporate logistics world for about 20 years. I managed budgets up to $175 million. I ran a distribution center where we had over 200 people. Some of them had worked in the building longer than I had been on the planet at that point in time. So logistics is all about getting the right thing to the right place at the right time and making sure that it's the right fit for all the folks throughout the process. So something might be really great for a person in receiving, but it might be a real pain in the butt for someone in shipping. You want to make sure that it's going through the process with the least amount of friction possible. So you're trying to serve a lot of masters, which sounds an awful lot like politics. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I think is really interesting about this is logistics management is about trying to optimize. You have a lot of constraints that have to be built in. You certainly, I would assume, were quite busy trying to figure out how to solve some of our supply chain problems coming during and through COVID. And I think that aptitude for complexity and trying to get things to run efficiently to serve both, you know, on the receiving end or on the shipping end, I think that has a real direct application in government. But let me start with the basics, Sarah.
Yeah.
Why in the hell are you doing this? It is rough out there right now.
It is. It is indeed. It is rough out there. So I've been involved on the back end and in volunteering and knocking doors and doing all that kind of stuff since I was 19 years old. So I've been around, knocking around the political universe for a while. Never wanted to run for office until my kids were at a school board meeting. We're in the Waukesha School District, so we're very internationally famous for our school board. And they were absolutely not heard. And I thought, you know what, if my kid at age 13 has the guts to stand in front of this room and they are absolutely not going to listen, then I want to make sure that we're putting the right people in those roles. And so I got involved with running for school board in a 60% conservative area. I came within 1% of being on that board. So very close. And then after that, Sarah Rodriguez asked me to run for her former assembly seat. And I said no. And then she asked me again, and I said no. And we played that game for a little while, and eventually I said yes. And so ever since then, I've been involved in the state legislative level. I ran for District 13 in 2022, and then when the maps changed, I ran for 15 in 2024.
Yeah, I also love if you tell me you're a reluctant candidate, you've probably won my vote immediately. Right? I mean,
right.
And I'm going to maybe put a generalization out there. When I know that a candidate is reluctant, when somebody says to me, you know, I don't know if I can do that, or that's not really me, or I'm concerned about it, I don't think I can win, that to me tells me that I don't have someone who frankly comes from an entitlement mindset, or that presumes to know what everybody needs, and of course that's me. And I say that as someone who used to be the one with my hand up in class all the time, but I never presume to lead, right?
Right.
So I deeply, deeply respect that. And one of the themes that I talk about, and it's virtually every week during this segment, Sarah, is when I'm talking to female candidates and elected officials, they all have a story that shares the parallel that you just shared with us and all of our listeners. And that is that you saw something in your life or in your community, in this case, your kids trying to be heard at a school board, and the right thing didn't happen. And that became the catalyst.
Yep.
That's just such a powerful message. Sarah, what do you hope, again, you're gonna have a challenging race, it's kind of a toss-up district. We have your opponent is about as cookie cutter of a Republican as I could ever envision. What is your platform? What are the things, the issues that are closest to your heart that you want the voters of the 5th District to know about? What do you want to do differently?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, the important thing is what's close to their heart, right? So I'm out talking to folks in the community all the time. We do these walk and talks where we go for about a mile and we just chat about what's on your mind, what's going on in your neighborhood, whether it's in West Allis or if it's in Pewaukee or if it's in my little tiny segment of Milwaukee. Wherever we are, I want to know what's on their mind. And there's a couple of things that I keep hearing from the folks I'm talking to. And I'm going to preface this by saying I do not always agree with James Carville, but he was right when he said, it's the economy, stupid. People are really feeling the economic pressure right now. And there's a couple layers to that. So from a personal finance perspective, folks are really feeling the pinch in terms of healthcare, childcare, housing, making sure that they can actually make their budget work and provide their basic needs. And then on another level, when we look at the activities happening in Madison, we have all these what we call unfunded mandates. So I'm going to tell a community they have to do a certain thing, but I'm not going to give them any money to do it.
And just to be clear, I want people to understand what this is, because it is a recurring problem in basically every single community in the state. It doesn't matter if you're a red or blue jurisdiction. When we say unfunded mandate, what we mean is that the state government has enacted some law that requires a local government to provide some service or take some action, but they provide no funding when they put that requirement in place. Hence the term unfunded. They don't provide funding, but they demand, they tell you it's in law, you must do X, Y, and Z. Right. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of these things across the state. It's why you've seen local governments in such a fiscal pinch. I'm so sorry to butt in there, but it's such an important thing, and it's happening all over, Sarah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my opponent, the incumbent in the seat, voted against the budget. And his reasoning was it didn't cut enough spending. I would have also voted against that budget because it didn't fully fund our public schools. It didn't continue to support our communities. So it's kind of funny because we both would have been opposed, but for totally different reasons. So that's one, economy. Another thing that people are still worried about, and it's not quite as intense as it was in previous years, but reproductive freedom, getting that put into our law clearly, permanently, without loopholes, really defining that. And the other thing, especially with the younger folks that I hear a lot of concern about, is environmental issues. So we're talking green energy, we're talking renewable resources, and there's also a healthcare aspect to that. And my youngest just did a project this year about sustainable agriculture, and it's amazing. There's all sorts of ways that we can make it work. We just have to all have a plan and stick to it. So those are the big three.
Yeah, when I think about natural resources and resource stewardship, right, I tend to sort of try to get away from like climate because people lose their minds. But everybody in Wisconsin, like everybody spends time outside. We know that tourism is a huge part of our state's economy and agriculture and manufacturing. So I talk about it in terms of like resource management, resource stewardship. And to me, this is, and what I hear in your answer in part, Sarah, about these environmental issues is that it is kind of an all of the above approach. Yeah. We're not going to get away from fossil fuels immediately. That's not what works. It's right. Unreasonable. There's AI data centers. There's so much happening. But looking critically at the impacts, deciding how we take an all of the above approach and not sticking our heads in the ground like the Trump administration has done by basically telling EPA scientists, you can't do science. No more sciencing in the EPA anymore, people. I mean, it's bananas.
Yeah. Well, and you don't have to be an EPA scientist to know that if you don't farm and use sustainable agriculture, you're going to have runoff of that really rich topsoil. Like you can see that without having a PhD or being a climate scientist.
Absolutely. Folks, if you're just joining us, we're joined this half hour for this Wednesday's installment of Broad Appeal by Sarah Harrison. She is the candidate for state senate in 2026 in District 5. Tell us what are the geographic bounds of District 5? It's a big old district.
It is. It is indeed. So we have all of Pewaukee, all of Brookfield, all of Elm Grove, a little tiny slice of Waukesha, most of Wauwatosa, most of West Allis, and then a little tiny slice of Milwaukee. So it's kind of like a little patchwork. We got a little quilt going on there. And I have run, like I said, twice in the western side of the district, in District 15 for the assembly. And that is where we have a lot of opportunity because Waukesha County was one of four counties to move further blue last fall. So we really have to be out there talking to the people, getting them to the polls. And there's a real opportunity to do that here.
I am so excited for this race in particular, Sarah. I hope you're on our airwaves on this program frequently as we move into 2026 because it is highly winnable. And yeah. I think it is an incredible microcosm for the entire state, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe as goes District 5, so goes Wisconsin. We're going to keep this great discussion going. We're going to talk about Sarah, the mom, as well as the candidate and business owner when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.